Hey everybody, this is Stully Hefty.
And this is Heaton Shah.
And in today's episode of the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about something I've been dying to talk to you about, which is, let's talk launching a new product, a new company.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh shit, we got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
You had a really big launch going on recently. I mean, you've been like building up your launch muscles like crazy over the last few years by launching multiple products. But the latest launch that you had, as far as I can tell, seemed to be the most successful one. And you're really onto something here with launching FYI. It's a Chrome extension. If you guys don't have it yet, make sure to go and search for FYI, pretty dope product that I'm using. So I wanted to just get the freshest, most up-to-date kind of piece of advice from you in terms of how was the launch, lessons learned, things that you guys did really well, things that didn't work anymore, if there are any like that. Just kind of an updated, here are the tips and tricks from a recent example on how to launch something.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's usefyi.com. The reason I'm giving you that is our SEO is not as good as it should be. So if you search for it on Google, you might not find it. It's usefyi.com. But you can always search for it on Product Hunt. You will find it. So we launched this thing on May 22nd. So it was a little bit ago. And I've had another launch that we launched on October 23rd. So that was what, like 6-7 months before that? Another product. So the DraftSend was the first product, and that was actually the number one product of the day on October 23rd. It was the number three product of the week back then. It has right now 1,700 plus upvotes, almost 1,800. I guess it was eight months ago. And it was another interesting fact is that it had 34 reviews that were just ratings, and then it had 7 like in-depth reviews that people did. And so that's the stats for that. And I'm going to contrast that to FYI because you said some interesting stuff. And I think this is something that worthy of jumping into that I haven't really talked about. And then on FYI, it was so far, obviously that one's 8 months old. This is literally less than a month old right now as we're recording this, is 1,139 upvotes. And it was the number two product of the day. No week rankings yet, or we didn't get any weekly rankings on that one. And here's the interesting thing. It had 47 reviews. So it had more reviews, less upvotes, but it had 25 detailed reviews. So that's 25 versus 7. Now, here's the thing. I want to point this out. In neither of them, and I do this on purpose, and it probably hurts me, but in neither of them did we ask people to give in-depth reviews. And as per Product Hunt's rules, we never asked anyone for an upvote either. So what's interesting is that with DraftSend, it was a product where we actually did a lot more work in getting other people to create presentations because it was a presentation tool where you can publicly have a link for it, create presentations, add their audio to it because that's what the product did, and then promote it on Twitter or wherever they wanted. And that got us a lot more upvotes by almost like 50%, right? Like 50% more upvotes, roughly speaking, because obviously that one's 8 months, so there's been upvotes trickling in since then. So you could argue when you look at some of those stats that, oh, DraftSend was more successful. The thing is, though, we had like 4x the detailed reviews with FYI, and we didn't ask for any. We didn't tell anyone, hey, go review us. We didn't do that on either product. And one got more upvotes than the other. And also, when it comes to Product Hunt, a lot of it does have to do with what day you launch on and what other things are out there on that day, right? And other factors that, like, honestly, are not under your control. So you just control the things you can control. And so with FYI, we had spent a lot more time learning about the problem, and we spent a lot more time figuring out what the right solution to that problem was, and we did not launch it until we really hit the mark. So you're right. It is for us and what we're looking to accomplish in the world. It was a much more successful launch than DraftSend. Even though if you look at the numbers and you're just focused on the vanity of the number of upvotes, you would think DraftSend was more successful.
That's so interesting. There's two things you said that I want to dive into a little bit better. First is the, you know, you can launch something. I don't even know how to put this in words, but you can do something that seems exciting and will get a lot of people to give you a small token of support, like a like or an upvote or I don't know what, a retweet or something. Some form of like, yes, I approve of this. I also support this. And that's awesome. And that's the beginning, right? Or can be the beginning. But the question is like, what is success in a launch, right? And there's a big difference between a lot of people upvoted us when we launched. They kind of supported the product. They thought it was cool and exciting. In this case, potentially a lot of people just on a theoretical level or an intellectual level versus here's a product that got a little bit, I mean, still a significant amount of like support and upvotes and prominence, but obviously got a lot more usage and not just usage, created a lot more kind of instant value, so much so that a good amount of people in a very short period of time felt the urge to go and leave a detailed review, right? And so in your mind, obviously, that's a lot more valuable, like having people that are using the product and instantly see the value and feel so strongly about communicating or sharing that with the world that they're going to leave a review versus people that saw the logo, a screenshot, whatever it is, maybe even just signed up, but never used the product, but just liked the idea of it. So gave it a small token of support, right? There's a really big difference between what to focus on. And mostly when we think about launching, we're thinking about the big bang. We're thinking about upvotes. We're thinking about whatever, signups. We think about top of the funnel numbers, right? We're not like, oh, we're going to launch this product and we really, really want to see, you know, 50 people use it for 5 days in a row for at least 2 hours a day and then give us a really positive review or positive NPS score. Like, that's not typically the goal that companies and startups put on the whiteboard when they're thinking about their launch, right? It's usually a 1,000 upvotes or get, 10,000 unique clicks on this, or let's get X amount of sign-up trials, or let's get Y amount of people giving us their email address or something like that. Very much kind of top-of-funnel focus when it comes to launching versus kind of more the mid or the end of the funnel, like usage and satisfaction and value creation.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think people tend to focus on the vanity of it. Oh, we had a great launch. We had more upvotes than this other person, or we had like this many number of upvotes. But like, you got something out in the world. You know, that's already a really, really big accomplishment. And I think it's super fascinating how, you know, when you dig into some of these things you look at on product and you're like, oh, they were the number one of the day. Yeah, sure, they were the number one of the day. That's great. But what did it do for their business? And how do you know it did something for their business? What's the quality of that product? Like, there's products out there that like launch on Product Hunt and they get no reviews. None. Right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
what does that mean?
What does that mean?
Right?
Yeah.
What does that mean? I don't know. It could be that they just launched and they didn't let anyone use it beforehand, right?
Yeah.
So I think the biggest thing to think about when you launch a product, and especially when you're going to do it on Product Hunt, because that is the spot, that is the place to launch almost any product, just because it's like the new tech crunch, it's a lot lower barrier to launching something. And it's not to say that you can't launch in other places. It's just an easy way to launch and get something out and get a bunch of users that are very specific, right? Like, these are users that will try any product is the way I like to say it. And that's good. It's like it's PR. It's like PR 2.0. You know, or whatever you want to call it, where you are able to get some publicity just by posting on Product Hunt and doing some extra work there. We did spend a lot of time on the images on the FYI page. We did spend time to make sure that we had early access users and use Product Hunt's upcoming feature that enabled us to get like a whole bunch of early access subscribers before we launched. And we did work with them to basically improve the product and get their feedback early and brought a lot of them into the product early so that they could check it out and things like that. So we did sort of, if you want to call it this, play the game on the platform, right? Just like back in the day, you would have to go make friends with a TechCrunch reporter or whoever you want to write your story, whether it's TechCrunch or some other publication. In this case, you are actually have super direct access to the audience. You put an upcoming page, even if you have a few hundred people subscribe to it, which everyone can basically get, you can get feedback from them. And so we did that. You go to our upcoming page for FYI and you saw like a little GIF because we like GIFs. And then you saw like this little copy talking about how we're going to help you save time and search through all your documents, find your documents. And then we got about 2,000 people subscribing there. And we basically were, because we had a survey too, asking them a few questions, we were able to pick off people smartly that use certain apps that we integrated with. So we were able to pick them off smartly and were able to actually get them to use the product early. And we got a ton of feedback. And, you know, that probably impacted the reviews we had because people were already actually using our product before we launched it. And so that's basically a big deal and something that people don't really think about when they're doing this. They don't really think about using the platform that you have out there in the best ways possible. That's why I call this like a new way to do PR. So I think those are aspects of a launch that I haven't really spoke about, which is like how literally you have a platform that gives you direct access to the audience that's essentially using, reading, whatever, the service, and this being Product Hunt specifically.
So I want to dive into the timeline for this, but like doubling down on the like play the game or understand the platform that you're launching within or the context that you're launching within, one thing that has to be brought up is that you've invested in Product Hunt and being a participant and being somebody that created value on that platform for a long time before launching your own products, right? You were like one of the top product hunters out there in terms of like, you know, sharing links and sharing new products and commenting and supporting product launches and participating in the community. You invested a lot of energy and create a lot of goodwill and value, which now, whenever you are launching a product, you can benefit from, right? And rightfully so.